Warheads, welcome back to another episode of Trivial Warfare. We are the podcast that takes a pub quiz out of the pub and brings it home to you. My name is Jonathan, and I am here with a gaggle of friends. Chris is here. Say hello, Chris.
This is Chris.
That was a weird hello, but I'll take it. Carmella's here. Say hello, Carmella.
Hello, Carmella.
Oh, Mark. How you doing, man?
I'm great. How are you doing?
I'm doing wonderfully. And then last but not least, Mr. Chip Coffee's back in the house. Hey, Chip.
Hey, Jonathan. How you been?
I'm doing very, very well.
Yeah, he asked that like he hasn't seen you in a long time, even though we just saw you yesterday.
Well, you know what yesterday was?
What was yesterday, Jonathan?
Yesterday was Thanksgiving.
Oh, it was Thanksgiving. That's true.
So I actually spent Thanksgiving with the Hollisters.
Yes, and the Coffees.
I know that it sounds like Chris doesn't like me sometimes on this show because I'm usually beating him and rubbing it in. But
or just being a
we are really actually good friends, and so I was going to be alone on Thanksgiving, and he invited me to be or to spend Thanksgiving with his family and Uncle Chip over here, and we had a great time.
Well, I was going to say you are family by proxy, so I mean it's just
I'm proxy family.
Yes, that's exactly
no doubt
right.
About it. My granddaughter just adores you.
Oh, she really did.
Wasn't she a sweetie?
I was shocked. I was absolutely shocked.
Why? All the girls like me.
Well.
Just not the ones in this room.
Hey. So now, we were talking about goofy Thanksgiving stuff before we started. And Chris, you had a story about your worst Thanksgiving. Why don't you tell us about it?
Yeah, I did. Actually, one of my oldest friends in the world is a guy by the name of Chaz. And his family was worried about him not having been able to come down for Thanksgiving, so they actually asked if I was willing to go up and see him in Philadelphia because he just started his first semester at the University of Pennsylvania.
Did you drive or fly?
I flew.
They flew you?
Oh, they flew me up there.
What?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, they were concerned, and they couldn't get the whole family up there, so they sent the other family member by proxy.
By proxy.
There, so. Yeah, exactly. And so I flew up there, and I didn't think about the actual day of Thanksgiving at all. Well, it came to it. I was like, okay, Chaz, what are we doing for Thanksgiving dinner? And he was like, well, the cafeteria is closed because the whole school is shut down. And I'm like, so basically we're going to be eating what's out of your refrigerator, which is all stuff that we took from the cafeteria over the last couple days and stored in his refrigerator. And he's like, no, we'll find some place to eat on Thanksgiving. And I was like, oh, okay, that's fine. So we proceeded to go walking.
So you didn't have a car. You were hoofing it.
No car.
Okay.
Two 18-year-old kids that I've never been in a big city like Philadelphia before. The biggest city I'd ever been in is Jacksonville or Tampa. Anyway, so we walked literally for about 45 minutes to an hour trying to find a place. And finally, we found this dodgy, and I mean dodgy in the biggest sense of the word, diner that was just creepy and it smelled funny in there and the whole bit. And so my Thanksgiving dinner as an 18-year-old was this like really bad turkey sandwich that we got at this diner, and it was just awful. I mean, it was just, again, I was happy to see Chaz. It was good to see him and what have you. But I was homesick, and I was really homesick for family, and I was homesick for the mashed potatoes. I was homesick for the turkey, and instead I'm having this like funk nasty diner turkey sandwich in this place that stinks. And I swear to you, the waitress had about as many teeth as I have on one hand, fingers on one hand. It was just brutal all the way around.
So you're in...
I've never, ever spent another Thanksgiving away from the family since then.
You were in Philadelphia?
I was in Philadelphia, yes.
If I was in a diner in Philadelphia for Thanksgiving, you know what I would have gotten?
Uh-oh.
A cheesesteak.
Philly cheesesteak.
That's right. I don't care if it's Thanksgiving. I'm in Philadelphia. I'm in a diner. Give me a cheesesteak. What were you thinking?
I was 18. I had no idea what I was thinking except for I'm going to die in this city diner that we're in. And also it was Thanksgiving. I wanted turkey.
I understand.
Okay.
Hey, guys. Before we get into warm it up, Chris, I do have a correction that we need to make from last week's episode. When we talked about the person who submitted the halftime question, I said, hey, I don't know a Chris Rhodes. They're not on my list. They're not really a warhead. I got an email this week from Chris Eve saying, hey, wait a minute. I submitted that question. I am a warhead. And I agree, Chris Eve is definitely a warhead. So, Chris, we appreciate the question. Sorry about the mix-up on the last names. It was something to do with the email address, but you definitely submitted a great question, and we really do appreciate it. So thank you very much. And now let's go ahead, Chris, and why don't you get us warmed up, brother?
All right. Warm up, Chris! I'm about to excited about this. As most people know, the Peanuts actually had a movie come out recently. And so I'm a big Charlie Brown fan. I've always loved the guy because my dome and his dome look fairly similar, especially now that I shave my head on a regular basis. And so did you guys know that there are 16 characters in the Peanuts comic strip that appear on a regular basis? There's quite a few more.
Holy moly.
That don't. But I wanted to see from you guys, and we'll start one by one, and we'll kind of go round robin and see who the last person standing is. But I want you guys to name the 16 main characters in Peanuts.
Okay, so, who goes first?
Let's see. Well, Jonathan complains that I always say ladies first. So, Jonathan, ladies first. You get to go first.
I'm going to go with Charlie Brown.
Charlie Brown is correct.
And I'm going to go a little off the beaten path here and say Peppermint Patty.
Peppermint Patty, correct.
I'll go with Lucy.
Lucy Van Pelt, correct.
Schroeder.
Schroeder, who has no last name, correct.
I'm going to say Marcy.
Marcy is correct. Marcy also has no last name.
She is a drifter.
I guess.
A loner.
That walked alone.
A rebel.
Yeah.
All right.
And she always calls Peppermint Patty, sir.
That's right, I love that.
How about Linus Van Pelt?
Linus Van Pelt, correct.
Pigpen.
Pigpen,
oh, you
correct.
Took my Pigpen.
Sally.
Sally Van Pelt.
Sally was Charlie Brown's sister.
I'm sorry, Sally Brown, correct. Sorry, I was reading Van Pelt at the same time. Forgive me.
Snoopy.
Snoopy, correct.
Oh, now it's getting challenging here. Woodstock.
Woodstock, correct.
That's my other one, too.
The little red-haired girl.
The little redhead girl, correct. Oh, well done. Ooh, I was wondering if somebody was going to nail
that. Does she not
have
a name?
No, she does not have a name.
She's
the little redhead girl.
She does not have a name.
Charlie Brown's crush.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. All right. I don't know if you can see my pad that's right in front of you, Carmella.
I can't, and okay. Mark took my answer because now I am a redhead girl.
Yes, you are.
You already said Woodstock. Does the teacher count?
Nope, the teacher does not count. So
that's it. That's all I got.
Okay, so Carmella's out. First one out. So, Jonathan, it's to you.
The token black kid.
He has a name.
Token.
Boo.
Nope, he has a name.
That's on South Park.
Well, there's one black kid in Charlie Brown's neighborhood. I don't know his name. What could his name be? Let's just go for any... Let's see, do we have a... I'm going to guess... I'm just going with a random name, right? To try and find a Charlie Brown
name.
I'm going to say Sigmund. Is there a Sigmund in
Charlie Brown's
town? Sigmund
is incorrect. Jonathan is now officially out, so it's down to two.
I was hoping that if they named somebody Linus, you know Linus is a scientist's name. I was hoping that they might have a Freud or a Sigmund there.
The Great Pumpkin.
The Great Pumpkin is not in there. I'm sorry. So, Mark, for the win.
No. How about Franklin?
Franklin is there. The winner of this round of Warming Up Chris is Mark. The last couple on there is Rerun Van Pelt, which is the youngest sibling of Linus and Lucy. Yeah. Violet Gray, and then Frida, who is the girl with natural curly hair.
Forgot about Violet.
And that, my friends, is your Warming Up Chris question of the day.
So Chris,
very nice, Mark.
All right, so Mark, you took us down and schooled us at the Charlie Brown trivia. Now, are you ready to school us with your normal trivia?
Let's do it.
All right, let's get it on.
Round one.
Okay, first question, round one. The category is TV. Who played Batman in the 1966 TV show of the same name?
Do you want a 3-2-1 that?
Yeah.
All four of us know the answer?
Yeah, I think so.
It's going to be our first quadruple 3-2-1. Ready?
All right, 3-2-1, Adam West.
Woo!
Nice job.
It'd be funny if we were all wrong. It's like, no, that's not the answer at all.
Okay, next question. Your category is fuel. What do the British call gasoline?
3-2-1 again.
Okay, sure.
All right, 3-2-1, petrol.
That is correct.
Round three? No, question three?
Yep. First round.
All right, round one, question three. Your category is music. What is Beyonce's surname?
3-2-1.
He probably does it. So I'm going to let Carmella. I'm going to let Carmella speak for us.
Okay.
So 3-2-1.
3-2-1.
Knowles.
That is correct. I thought you guys would have got a little stumped on that one.
Really?
Yeah.
She's the most famous girl in the world right now.
Okay.
Still, she's just known as Beyonce.
I don't think
we know Madonna's last name, dude.
Oh, yeah, because it's been out there for like 30 years.
Do you know Lady Gaga's last name?
No, I have
no
idea.
I know her first name. Her first name's Stephanie.
Stephanie Gaga?
How did you know? It's my question, Uncle Chip.
I was just going to say her last name's Gaga.
No, actually, she got Gaga from the Queen song, yes. Radio Gaga.
Yeah, I was just about to say her first name's Radio.
Lady Radio Gaga.
Okay, so after the first round, we're all tied up, 30-30.
It might have been the easiest round Mark has ever put us through.
It could be. Well, I wanted to take it easy. I didn't know how the panel was going to go with 2-on-2 here.
So. Do not make Mark angry.
Okay. Science.
Science! Science!
The muscles in the front of your thighs are called what?
Okay, I'll write it down and you guys can talk.
Do you have any ideas?
So, hamstring? Is it your hamstring?
I thought the hamstring was on the back.
That might be. Is it a quad?
That actually makes sense.
So you want to do quad or you want to do hamstring?
What's your gut telling you?
He had a ham yesterday. Did you eat the string?
Hopefully it wasn't stringy.
Yeah, because no.
I think I agree with you that the hamstring is in the back. So you want to go quad?
Yeah,
and then if it's wrong, you can blame me.
No, I'm not going to blame you at all because I'm talking you out of it. So,
okay.
All right, our final answer is quad.
Does he have to say the whole thing?
No, I think that's acceptable if it's correct.
Okay, I said quadriceps.
Quadriceps is correct.
All right. Because I've always referred to it as quad, so it's just like my quad hurts, even though I'm always holding the back of my leg when I say
your hamstring hurts.
Do you know why it's called a quad?
Because that's where you go streaking?
Negative.
That's so odd. That's such a great answer.
It's because it's a four-part muscle.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same way your biceps is a top and bottom two-part muscle. The quadricep is a four-part muscle, and so it's quad.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Tricep, three-part muscle.
Gluteus maximus.
Big muscle. Or great. Great muscle is another way
of saying it. Some are bigger than others.
Well, hey, and some are definitely smaller than others.
Poor Chris.
All right.
Your next category is sports.
Sports.
What do you call a do-over in golf?
Okay, locked in.
Chip, I think it's a mulligan.
Mulligan.
We're going with mulligan.
I wrote down mulligan.
That is a mulligan.
Not on that question.
Apparently there was a very bad Irish golfer who continually cheated, and they eventually named it after him. They called it the mulligan. What do you think? I just made that up.
I was going to say, that does not sound legit whatsoever.
It sounded apocryphal, but it actually sounded like...
It sounds good, though, right?
It might be something someone would say.
Was his name Seamus O'Mulligan?
Seamus Mulligan, exactly.
Seamus.
Last category of the round is movies. What is the subtitle to the second Pirates of the Caribbean movie?
Oh, crap.
Okay, we're locked in.
Do you know anything about him? I can think of three subtitles that might all be real subtitles.
Oh, I know one of the subtitles, but I'm almost certain it's the third one. It's At the World's End.
Yes, World's End is one of them.
Right.
So I think there was a Black Pearl, and I think Black Pearl was the first one.
Well, I think the first one was just Pirates of the Caribbean.
No, I'm pretty sure it was Black Pearl.
Okay.
And I think there was one called Dead Man's Chest.
Okay.
So if Black Pearl was the first one and World's End was the last one, then Dead Man's Chest would be the second one.
Right.
Do you want to go with that?
Okay.
All right, we're going to say Dead Man's Chest.
We also say Dead Man's Chest.
That is correct.
Woo!
Well played.
I'm excited about that because that wasn't a sure thing for us. Uh-uh. This is the Chip and I's weakness is going to be the pop culture. You guys have a supreme pop culture advantage. I'd say we have a more of a history advantage.
All right, so after two rounds, gentlemen, we're still pitching a perfect game, 60-60.
Whoa.
Why did you say that?
Because I'm hoping to throw them off. I know it'll throw us off.
Yeah, but he said that means you guys.
They are pitching a perfect game. 60.
Too late, buddy.
All right, round three, your first category actually is history.
Yeah.
In what city did the infamous St. Valentine's Day Massacre take place?
Okay, I'm going to write down an answer. We'll lock it in.
Okay. I mostly just wrote that down just so that I wouldn't forget it.
And I'm happy because Chip is the one who came up with this answer, and I'm not going to give it right now, but... I would have got the wrong answer without him on this one.
Okay.
If he was right.
It's one of three. It's Chicago, it's New York, or it's Philadelphia. And Chicago's the one I'm thinking of, and that's the one I initially wrote down. Because I want to say it was Capone that ordered it, but as soon as I wrote it down, I started doubting myself.
New York doesn't sound right.
Okay. Well, then let's stick that out. Philadelphia, for some reason, is in my head, but...
Is it because of your Thanksgiving story?
That's a possibility as well, yes. So I think even though I'm not 100%, and we may have shot myself in the foot with the whole perfect game thing and say, if you're good with it, my final answer will be Chicago.
We said Chicago.
Chicago is correct.
Nice. All right.
I would have said Boston. I would have been wrong.
Why Boston?
Because I associate Boston with Valentine's for some reason.
There was a major conflict between the North Side Gang and the South Side Gang in Chicago, and Al Capone headed up, I believe, the South Side Gang, and he's the one who set up the St. Valentine's Massacre, where like five or six guys were killed, and it made worldwide news.
I thought it was more than five or six. I thought it was like 11 or 12. I thought it was in the double digits, because they just lined them up and mowed them down.
No, they had guys dressed as cops. They came in as if they were doing a bust and lined them up and then used Tommy guns and machine guns.
Yeah.
Next category, entertainment. In 1994, who starred in the highest grossing movie at the box office, the highest rated TV show, and topped the New York Times bestseller list all within a 7-day span?
You said 1994?
94.
Beautiful. Yeah, we're locked in.
Okay, Chip.
Can I get Mark to repeat the question, please?
Yes.
In 1994, who starred in the highest grossing movie at the box office, the highest rated TV show, and topped the New York Times bestseller list all within a 7-day span?
So somebody had to write a book. That's the hardest piece of this. So do you have any names that come to your mind immediately?
1994.
That's a year, not a name.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking about names from 94 too, right? And the first one that pops into my mind, 94 was like the heyday of ER. And so George Clooney came to mind. George Clooney was on ER, which was one of the top-rated shows of the time, and he was making movies at that point, so it could have been... In fact, he was Batman a couple years later, but hopefully this would have been a better movie than Batman. So it could be George Clooney. I don't remember him writing a book, though. When I think about people who wrote books, I think about, like, Oprah or those guys, right? But I don't think Oprah would be the top-rated TV show ever.
And I was thinking of another direction. I was thinking of Jerry Seinfeld.
Okay.
But I'm not sure of the movie.
Yeah, he wouldn't have been in a movie.
Right.
That's a good thought, though.
Because, I mean, the writing of the book, yeah.
Yeah.
The TV show, certainly. But not a movie.
Friends? Somebody from Friends? No, they weren't really making movies back then.
I think your Clooney thing may actually have legs.
I don't remember him writing a book.
I don't know that he can write, but that's another story. I mean, you know.
I'm a little scared that Uncle Chip's talking about George Clooney's legs.
Let's keep thinking. What were other really popular TV shows in the mid 90s?
Strangely enough, could it have been Cosby?
I don't think the Cosby Show is still going in 94.
And I also don't think he was in a movie that was a top hit. Now, it doesn't mean that he was the number one person in the movie either. It just means
right,
he was
exactly.
In the movie.
You know, exactly.
And we're saying it could be shit.
It really feels like it might be a comedian, because comedians... Tim Allen. It's going to be Tim freaking Allen.
Okay.
Because he was on Home Improvement. He was in like the Santa Claus or other movies like that.
Right.
And he would definitely write a book, which would be a comedy book.
Yeah.
Let's do that. We're going to say Tim Allen.
Okay. What's interesting is, I think you're 100% right on it. We missed a wording in it when Carmelo initially wrote it down, because he said what starred in the movie. What she wrote down, I think, is a great answer, and I'll let you say it.
I said Michael Crichton, you know, because he had Jurassic Park, ER, and then one of his books were all top at the same time.
Oh. Yeah.
And so, but I misunderstood.
Said,
yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, but he said starred in. And as soon as I heard him reread it when that second time, I was like, crap, that's not it. I think the answer is Tim Allen. I think you're 100% right.
That's a great question.
Well, what
though?
Is the answer?
Yeah.
It is Tim freaking Allen.
Yep. Nice job, guys.
What was the movie?
Probably
Santa Claus.
Was that the top movie in 1994?
Dude, that movie made a ton of cash.
Really?
The first one was the only good one.
Well, and also...
Well, within a 7-day span. So at that point in time, it may have been...
He doesn't mean it remained.
I thought that meant like a top earning movie of the year.
No, because 94, Jurassic Park was
exactly.
Number one.
Exactly, yeah. Oh, okay. Man.
So,
pumped
nice job,
about that.
Nice job, guys.
Well played.
Good job. Good pull.
Okay, your last category of the round, music. What Queen hit did Sylvester Stallone nearly use for the Rocky III theme song?
They've made a lot of songs that would fit that.
Mm-hmm. I will tell you, it is not Bohemian Rhapsody.
Oh,
darn.
Why do you know?
Don't! We are locked in.
Okay, so Chip, you and I, we've been talking about We Are the Champions, We Will Rock You.
Or Rock You.
And we talked about Bohemian Rhapsody, Killer Queen, Fat Bottom Girls, Someone to Love, all that jazz, right? Radio Gaga. And I don't think it's We Are the Champions because it's plural and he's not a we. And there's a song I'm trying to think of by them, and I need to kind of hum to myself a little bit. I was just about to start doing that.
Oh, this is going to be fun.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm trying to hear a set of lyrics in my head, and I don't know if it's a different song or if it's We Will Rock You, and I'm trying to think of what the song was that has these lyrics. And so I'm going to have to hum.
Please. We insist.
I might cut this out, okay?
No, if you hum, you got to keep it in.
Well, how do the lyrics to We Will Rock You go?
Well, the problem with We Will Rock You is we're dealing with the same dynamic of the we.
I understand, but how do the lyrics go?
It's pretty. We will.
Are there any lyrics? Is it just that? That's the whole thing?
No, yeah.
There's a song that they do where it talks about machine guns, and I can't think of those lyrics right now, but I'm trying to think if it's a unique song, a different song, and I can't think of what it is.
Okay, everybody, go to the show notes. There's going to be videos and songs.
There's a more of an aggressive song that my father used to listen to in the 80s when I was a kid, and it talked about Another One Bites the Dust. It's Another One Bites the Dust. That's what I've been looking for this whole time.
And I was just about to get to it. Yeah, okay.
Okay, we're going to go with Another One Bites the Dust.
And we said Another One Bites the Dust.
It is Another One Bites the Dust.
Nice job.
By the way, my third grade teacher used to sing that song to us whenever somebody would fail a paper and he'd throw it down on their desk.
I thought it was
the coolest thing.
All right, going into the halftime question or the midpoint question, you guys are leading slightly 90-80. This might be our best scoring episode so far going into the halftime.
Well, we have partners. I would expect this to be a very high scoring
game. Yeah, it should be.
We have teams.
Well, fine then.
Your halftime question. Given the movie, tell what type of animal the main character is. So I'm going to give you four movies, and you need to tell me what kind of animal the main character is.
Okay.
Your movies are My Friend Flicka, Oliver and Company, Mighty Joe Young, and Andre. The movies are My Friend Flicka, Oliver and Company, Mighty Joe Young, and Andre.
All right, we're locked in. She knew it right off the bat. This girl is money.
Okay, so we know that My Friend Flicka is a horse. We know that Mighty Joe Young is a gorilla. Oliver and Company, we were just starting a conversation on. It's an animated movie. I remember it very well.
Right.
And there are a lot of dogs and cats in it. And I think like one of the, like a lot of them were dogs, but I feel like the main character was a little orange tabby cat. Like
that's a kitted cat. That's what I'm envisioning in my mind too. I think it was a cat.
Okay, so we're going to say cat for Oliver.
Company. Yeah.
Then Andre. I've never heard of Andre.
It's like the best movie ever.
Oh. Well, how did I miss that?
He's probably a mouse.
Really?
Sounds good to me.
You're making it up. You don't know?
I have no clue.
So it could very well be, it could be a dolphin. You laugh, but there's a movie that was pretty recent about a dolphin who got a prosthetic tail attached.
Yeah, and that was called A Dolphin's Tail.
Was it? Mm-hmm. Okay.
That might have been a little too obvious for Mark's question.
Andre.
Andre the Giant.
And?
It's about a big guy.
It could be a mouse. Been a lot of mouse movies. Could be a dog. I'm trying to give it time to get a glimmer of a preview in my head. If I can just get a preview, I'll be able to figure it out. An elephant, perhaps? It could be about like an Indonesian kid. Like Life of Pi had a tiger.
I remember that song, Pi of the Tiger.
Wow. He's got jokes, friends. He's got jokes.
The heat of the bite.
Maybe we have time
the
to go.
The burning fart. What? That was a Survivor song.
Maybe Andre was a penguin.
He could be a bird of some sort.
Maybe we have a few minutes to go out and grab a snack or something, you know.
Do we have a bird here? We don't have any birds here. Andre.
Jonathan wants to give us the bird.
Andre's not that far away. It was pretty recent. And
a seal.
Oh, that could be. That rings a bell.
All of a sudden, it appeared in my head.
Seal or sea lion? Seal.
Seal.
Seal. Okay, we'll go with that. So we'll say a horse for Flicka, a cat for Oliver, a gorilla for Joe Young, and a seal for Andre.
Okay, what about you guys?
Unbelievable.
Oh, they think we're right.
No, I know you're right.
Oh.
So Flicka is about a horse. Oliver and company, the main character, is a cat. Mighty Joe Young's about a gorilla. And Andre, which I do contend was one of the better movies of my childhood, is a seal.
That is correct.
Carmella, that was live action, wasn't it?
It was.
Mm-hmm. High five,
Chip.
High
five your partner so he could put his hand down.
Good job.
Wow.
So going into the second half, you guys are winning 110 to 100.
We're doing well.
Yes.
Whoa. All right, Mark.
Kicking off round four, your category is science.
Science! Science. Where's the science out of you two? What's wrong with this here?
Science!
Science.
There you go. Thank you. Goodness gracious. What do you have to do around here?
The Galilean moons orbit what planet?
Oh, yeah. I got Carmella. What up?
We're locked in.
We're locked in. Or Carmella's locked in.
You want 3, 2, 1?
Sure. 3, 2, 1.
Jupiter.
Jupiter is correct.
And Chris got... See, this is the benefit of Chris having a partner who actually knows something about outer space.
Next category, geography. How many U.S. states have names that begin and end with the same letter?
That's geography, okay.
That is geography.
He said geography.
I was thinking geology for some reason.
We're going to have to think about this one.
Well, there is some geology. Okay.
Actually, repeat it one more time, please.
How many U.S. states have names that begin and end with the same letter?
Okay.
Did you say how many, or you want us to name them?
How many?
Can we get a bonus if we name them all?
No.
Ha!
Well, because if you get the number right, obviously you're going to name them.
You could guess.
It's between 1 and 50.
Locked in?
Mm-hmm.
All right, we're locked in.
All right, now that you're locked in, we get to start naming a bunch of random states. So far, we know we have Ohio, Alaska, Alabama, and Arizona. And we were just, I don't know where you were at in your map, but I was just hitting New England.
Yeah, so was I.
Oh, wonderful. So,
we repeated our words.
Slow freaking drive.
So let's just start naming the states and see where we get. New York, Pennsylvania, Maryland, Rhode Island, Vermont, New Hampshire, Maine, none of those. Massachusetts, Delaware, I don't think anything up in New England has it. And then I went through Michigan, Iowa, Indiana, that area there. I didn't see anything there, so it might just be four.
I believe that's correct.
We're going to go with four.
And we said four.
Yep, four is correct.
Good job, man.
Why didn't you just sing the 50 Nifty song?
It's way easier.
I don't know the 50
Nifty
song.
You don't know the 50 Nifty song?
What is the 50 Nifty
song?
Yes,
Carmella.
Oh, do I have to sing the whole thing now?
If you know it, go for it.
Hey, Mark, you want to sing it with me?
This is 50, this is 50 Nifty, brought to you by Carmella and possibly Mark.
Alabama, Alaska, Arizona, Arkansas, California, Colorado, Connecticut. Delaware, Florida, Georgia, Hawaii, Idaho, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Kentucky, Louisiana, Maine, Maryland, Massachusetts, Michigan, Minnesota, Mississippi, Missouri, Montana, Nebraska, Nevada, New Hampshire, New Jersey, New Mexico, New York, North Carolina, North Dakota, Ohio, Oklahoma, Oregon, Pennsylvania, Rhode Island, South Carolina, South Dakota, Tennessee, Texas, Utah, Vermont, Virginia, Washington, West Virginia, Wisconsin, Wyoming, North, South, East, West, North, calm, objective opinion, whatever state you're from is the best of the 50 Nifty United States from 13 original colonies.
Where does that come from?
Yeah. Is that the Animaniacs?
I learned it in elementary school.
I taught it to my first graders when I taught first grade a long time.
Seriously?
Yeah, I had to sing it at a
that is awesome.
Like a school assembly.
And the only thing I learned is A, B, C, D.
Yeah, me too. They certainly weren't teaching that when I was a kid.
No, I wish they did. That would have been awesome.
I have to tell you, I imagine that was written by somebody from Ohio. Because
Ohio
was very prominently featured in the song.
Good stuff. All right.
Last category of the round, movies. Name the actor or actress that appeared in all of the following movies. Catch Me If You Can, Joe Dirt, and Pulp Fiction.
Okay. We're locked in.
They have such an advantage on the pop culture stuff.
Oh, they do. They just knock it out.
I mean, we're going to be lucky to get it.
She's killing it right now, so this is outstanding.
Okay, so you said you've seen Catch Me If You Can, which yeah. I'm glad, because I've seen Pulp Fiction.
Right.
And I don't think either of us would have seen Joe Dirt. Yeah. The only people I know from Joe Dirt is David Spade, and I think it had Jesse, whatever her name is, that was on My Name is Earl, or... Forgiving Earl.
Jamie Presley.
Jamie Presley, yeah, that's the one.
Right.
And being that Mark just named her, she's not the answer. So, Catch Me If You Can, I know, was DiCaprio and Tom Hanks, right?
Right, right.
And Pulp Fiction, I can go pretty deep in naming people from that. So, I'm going to name people that I know were in Pulp Fiction, and I want you to tell me if you remember them in Catch Me If You Can.
Okay.
Let's start with the obvious ones. John Travolta.
He was not in Catch Me If You Can.
Okay. Uma Thurman.
No.
Okay, Samuel Jackson.
I'm not certain, but I don't believe so.
Bruce Willis.
No, he could have been.
Could have been. Here's the one that I'm going to bet it is the answer, but I'm just based on him being in a lot of stuff. Ving Rhames, the big black guy who played Marcellus Wallace. Do you remember if he was in Catch Me If You Can?
I do not, but I agree with your logic on that.
It's very, very weak logic, unfortunately.
Yeah, well, I told you, this is not going to be an easy one.
Okay, other people from Pulp Fiction. Now I'm running dry on it. I can't remember Bruce Willis's girl's name. There was the two people in the bar. Harvey Keitel. I bet he was in Catch Me If You Can.
Yeah.
The wolf. Okay, we're going to go with Harvey Keitel.
Okay. We're going with Christopher Walken.
Christopher Walken.
I never would have gotten Christopher Walken. Yeah. I barely even remember him from Pulp Fiction.
What was he in Catch Me If You Can?
He was the dad. He was Leonardo DiCaprio.
He was the dad.
Yeah. He was the father. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, we weren't getting that one.
All right.
I was excited when we got to Keitel. I thought I'd found him because he could have been a law person in Catch Me If You Can.
Christopher Walken was in Joe Dirt.
Yeah.
Yeah,
he was.
He's
the janitor.
He's my favorite character in that movie. Yeah.
The sequel just came out
on Netflix.
I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, no, I have no urge whatsoever to see that thing.
What is it called? Joe Dirt?
Joe Dirt 2.
I was thinking Joe Dirtier.
Oh, that'd been awesome.
Dirtier Joe. Now it's a whole different movie.
Okay, so after four rounds, we're all tied up, 130-130.
Wow.
Your perfect game. Lost our perfect game.
Your perfect game over.
That might be the longest stretch of perfection.
That was pretty hard, man.
Seen.
That was pretty darn good.
All right, kicking off the next round, your first category is sports.
Sports.
What type of tests were National League umpires ordered to undergo in 1911?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, we're locked in.
Okay, so I just wrote down an answer, too.
It almost has to
Yeah,
be that.
I don't think it's an intelligence test or anything like that. It's got to be eyesight.
It's got to be eyesight.
So we're going to say an eyesight test.
And I said vision.
Yep, vision is correct.
Nice.
That's hilarious,
you're
by the
blind,
way.
Ump, you're blind, Ump. You're blind. We're going to make you prove you're not blind.
Actually, back then, man, it was scary to be an ump, too, because people went after you. They really did.
The players.
Ty
Cobb.
Ty Cobb would take his spikes off and go after people.
Go with the musical Damn Yankees. You're blind, Ump. You're blind, Ump. You must be out of your mind, Ump.
Well done.
Oh, that was good.
Didn't see that coming.
Yeah.
It's like the musical episode. Everybody sings today.
And actually, Jonathan and I have not sang yet. That's the funny part.
Going well.
Okay, your next category is history.
History.
The Dartmouth, the Eleanor, and the Beaver were the three ships in which what famous event from American history occurred?
Can you repeat the three
Could
ships' names again?
Could you repeat the question?
Yes. Oh. The Dartmouth, the Eleanor, and the Beaver were the three ships in which what famous event from American history occurred?
We'll go with that one.
All right. We're locked in.
Okay, so here's where we've got so far in our conversation. We said it was noticeable for us that he didn't say the USS Dartmouth, Eleanor, or whatever the other one was, Beaver. And so to us, that means there Beaver. Might not be a military thing More because than. They weren't USS-classed ships. So we're trying to look for events that were not military, and it could be pre-military. It could be pre-history or pre-American history kind of stuff. So that's where we're at right now, is we're trying to think of a perhaps nautical event. And the way he worded the question made it sound like it was something that either happened on the it could be something that happened on the ships.
And let me tell you a thought I have, primarily with us just having the Thanksgiving story, the Mayflower, and all that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
This could have been the expedition that founded Jamestown, which was the first English settlement in the New World.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
And that's kind of where I'm heading. That's the direction I'm heading in.
The Eleanor, the Dartmouth, and the Beaver.
The Beaver.
That might be my favorite ship name yet.
That's great.
Except that I don't believe that beavers, and don't say it, I don't believe that beavers were in the Old World at all. I think they were unique to the North American continent. So that kind of throws off my idea.
Oh, boy.
And the other thing I was thinking of is expeditions to Japan. First time to go to Japan, but those were military.
I was thinking about the North Pole, South Pole kind of explorations. What about Bay of Pigs? Anything down? Did we send a fleet down there?
We did, but I don't think they would have been non-military. I think they would have had the USS.
He might have just left that off
to be
on
a wise
accident.
Guy. Yeah,
yeah.
It's a lot of pressure on the question writing. For the amount of analyzing that you guys are doing to it.
It sounds very much like an exploratory expedition somewhere.
Yeah.
Okay. And I...
Three ships. Yeah.
And...
Wait.
I just had a thought.
Boston Tea Party.
No, I believe that was one ship. Here's what I think it was. It just dawned on me. Those were the three boats that were used by Lewis and Clark on their expedition.
They had boats on Lewis and Clark's expedition?
Yeah, they went up river.
Lewis and Clark went out west.
I know, but they used the rivers to get where they were going for the longest time.
Is that true?
Yeah. They started in St. Louis.
Yeah.
They went up the Missouri River as far as they could go. And
yeah.
And then they ran into the Rocky Mountains.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, the Missouri River goes into the Rocky Mountains?
Well, that's where it starts.
It does?
Yeah.
I thought it started up in, like, Minnesota, Michigan kind of area.
No, that's the Mississippi River.
So the Missouri doesn't start in the Great Lakes?
No.
Okay, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Okay, so I like your logic there. I think we're going to go with that. So we're going to say that it's the three ships that Lewis and Clark used on their expedition.
Okay. We actually went with the Boston Tea Party.
It is the Boston Tea Party.
Oh, yes!
Woo! Sorry, Jonathan.
I'm tortured by that. Doggone it.
So close and yet so far.
I feel really good because that was like that just kind of hit me, and then I was just like, it makes sense because it was not a military event.
When I said it, Chip said I think that was one ship, and so we moved on.
Is that the end of the round?
No, we got one more.
No, one more question.
Oh yeah, we do. Business is your category.
And business.
Who co-founded Microsoft with Bill Gates? Need his first and last name.
All right, we're locked in.
Okay. Well, we're going to talk it out then. I mean, we actually have our answer, but we'll just... So I initially wrote down Steve Wozniak, but Carmela mentioned, well, wait a second. I believe he co-founded Apple. And then that reminded me of a big episode of The Big Bang Theory where Sheldon raced home when he met Steve Wozniak.
The Woz.
Yeah, the Woz. Raced home and got his very first Apple computer and brought it over to the restaurant for him to sign. And so
his Apple II.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Whatever it was, yeah.
That
and
was
so and Carmela was like, I really believe it's Steve Jobs. And I'm not 100% comfortable with it, but I trust in my partner. So our final answer is Steve Jobs.
Okay.
So we went through the exact same conversation, like word for word, the same conversation with Wozniak and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And we came out with Steve Ballmer.
Nobody got it right. This guy owns a couple of sports teams. Paul Allen.
Oh, my goodness.
The other Seahawks, dude.
The Blazers. Yeah. I should have thought of that. I really should have.
He also has one of the biggest yachts you've ever seen in your life.
Compensating for something.
So after five rounds, Carmel and I took the lead. It's 150 to 140.
Ooh.
Good job.
Round six. Your first category is literature.
Books.
What novel is divided into sections titled The Hearth and the Salamander, The Sieve and the Sand, and Burning Bright?
Could you read the three names one more time?
The Hearth and the Salamander, The Sieve and the Sand, and Burning Bright.
Mark's definitely upped the toughness quotient on this one.
Yeah, that's dramatic.
Ooh, that's good stuff.
Yep.
The Hearth and the Salamander.
The Sieve and the Sand.
And Burning Bright.
We're going to lock in our answer.
So, this... Wow.
Well, neither one of us think it's Tolkien.
No. Agreed.
You said Ender's Game.
Yeah. I mean, because Salamander is one of, I mean, is one of the key focal points in that. But Sieve in the Sand is where it kind of drops off a little bit right there.
Okay.
I'm just wondering if it's possibly like a military book of some sort. Like, I mean, it's
like
just
some
that's
sort of Tom Clancy book.
Not necessarily Tom Clancy, but thinking like just some sort of historical biography or something like that. I was also thinking, could it be like Mockingjay, or could it be
no.
Okay.
So I don't think
it's that. Okay. Because I remember they were, because basically I'm trying to think of books that were divided up into sections, and I know that those three books were divided up into sections.
Do you want to go with Ender's Game?
Is anything coming to you at all?
No.
It's like, just completely.
Like not even a little bit.
Okay. So our final answer is going to be Ender's Game. Gentlemen?
I don't think we got it right either. As you guys were talking, I started to think maybe sections meant like you were saying, you guys were indicating sections like. There was three sections in the book. I took it to mean analogous to chapters, but not called chapters.
Okay.
So we said Aesop's Fables.
Oh, nice.
But I don't think that's right either.
It is actually divided into three sections. It's from Ray Bradbury, Fahrenheit 451.
Oh, wow.
Oh, I should have known that one.
It, yeah.
So, but again, it's just like, did you listen to that on audio or did
I
you
did.
Read it?
Okay. I did listen to that one.
Because that's one of the, yeah, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt
you. No, it's
you.
Okay. I read it years ago, like in paper yeah. form, but I most recently listened to it on
yeah.
audio.
But that's one of the biggest problems with audiobooks is like you lose little nuances like that.
Is that two in a row that nobody got?
Yep.
Yeah.
Wow.
That was a really hard question.
That was a hard question.
You know, I loved that.
I read that book when I was in high school, guys, and that's been a couple years ago.
All right, go ahead. What's the next question?
Your category is anagrams.
Oh.
So you're going to write something down.
Do we want to set a time limit? Because
yes.
We could do this all day.
Yes.
About 3 minutes?
Yeah, I'd say three.
Can you time us?
Yes, I will.
Okay.
The category is anagrams. Rearrange the letters in the words... Slow elimination, what a bore, B-O-R-E, to give the name of a TV game show, past or present. So rearrange the letters in the words, slow elimination, what a bore, to give the name of a TV game show, past or present. You've used a minute and a half. You have a minute and a half left.
They've locked in. I don't think we have any chance of getting this. I don't know any game shows that have a name that long.
Let's throw one out.
You have 30 seconds.
Truth or Consequences.
Well, we know that's not right.
Yeah.
Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? Who Wants to Be a Millionaire?
Okay, you guys.
That's what we wrote.
Who Wants to Be a Millionaire?
Be right.
It is Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
What?
Where did that come from?
Out of the blue, man. That was the luck. Now, Chris.
It's better to be lucky than good.
A lot of times you give me a hard time about
unbelievable.
Luck.
Yeah.
And most of those times I'm really proud of my ability to come up with an answer. This time, that was luck.
Yeah,
that was 100%.
That was completely out of the deep realms of your sphincter.
Blind luck, buddy.
Because I was going way back into some of the old ones, like I've Got a Secret, Truth or Consequences, things like that. $64,000 question.
They named a town out of Truth or Consequences, for goodness sakes.
I focused on the B. The B in that letter, bore, was... the challenging piece to me because a B isn't a letter you see in a lot of game show names. It's just kind of an odd letter. And so that's where I was focused the whole time. And that's where the answer came from at the end.
I'm actually pretty good with those. I'm sure pretty good on the fly with them. And I was just like, as soon as I came up with it, she said, yeah, I think you're right. And I'm just like, I hope so, because I didn't have time to match everything up. Mm-hmm. But it was just like,
I could
right.
be pattern recognition. So I was like, yeah, those look like all the same letters. Yeah.
Well, there you go.
Well, Chris, did you take a look at the length of it too, like Jonathan was talking
yeah,
about?
Yeah, we did that towards the middle part of it.
Because he kept saying it's got to have a number of words in it. It can't be one or two things.
Yes.
Yeah. See, did you notice the phrase kind of fits the show?
Yeah, that's
slow
what I was
elimination.
Saying.
Right.
What a bore. Are
really
you saying
what
that's
a bore particularly?
All right, so final question.
Final question. Category is music. No?
Music!
Okay, there we go.
Sorry.
Who co-wrote...
I was waiting on him.
Who co-wrote and also sang backup on the 1975 David Bowie hit Fame?
All right, we're locked in.
You guys are killing us on these popular questions.
Well, actually, this is more your age.
It's 40 years
old. This is 1975. Yeah. I wasn't born yet.
Fame, I want to live for...
Not that song. This is the one. I don't even remember how it goes. Like, fame. Dun, dun, dun,
the only standoff. Dun, dun,
dun, dun. That's how it goes. Fame. I don't remember a girl's voice in that. The name I wrote down over here. You guys have written yours down, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
The one that I wrote down over here, if it's right, it's just because I heard it somewhere a long time ago. I wrote down Mick Jagger, and I don't have a better answer, so we're going to go with Mick Jagger.
All right. I went with Freddie Mercury because David Bowie later did a song with Freddie Mercury. They did Under Pressure together, so we're going to say Freddie Mercury.
It is John Lennon.
Oh, my goodness.
Lennon. Oh, man. I can't believe you missed that one. That's your boy.
Yeah, well.
No pressure.
So going into the final question, we are up 160 to 150.
Yes.
Wow.
All right, your category for the final question is U.S. geography.
Okay. All right, we've got our wager written down.
We do as well.
Okay, we ready?
Yeah, Mark, lay it on us, brother.
Put the following U.S. cities in order, the northernmost at the top, down to the southernmost at the bottom. They are Tallahassee, Florida, San Antonio, Texas, San Diego, California, and Albuquerque, New Mexico.
And we want to go north to south?
Yes.
You son of a gun.
We're locked in.
Okay, so we've been debating. These are in couplets. Okay, so Tallahassee and San Diego are a pair, and San Antonio and Albuquerque are a pair. The San Antonio and Albuquerque group is the northern group, and the Tallahassee and San Diego group is the southern group. And we think we've reached a conclusion that San Diego is farther south than Tallahassee. And we were just trying to figure out, San Antonio, I believe, is in the northern part of Texas, up near the Panhandle. But I don't know how far north it is. And I was just about to ask, New Mexico, when you see New Mexico and Texas next to each other on a map, how far up Texas does New Mexico reach?
I actually thought it reaches about to the area where the Panhandle is. So
yeah,
that's in my mind.
Because the Panhandle is created by Oklahoma.
Right.
Oh, we're going to have to guess at it.
Sure, go for it.
You're like, I'm going to put the
pressure on you.
Yes, I understand completely. I know. I was trying to think about weather, but San Antonio's at an elevation, and it gets cold. It gets chilly there sometimes in the summer.
You could speak it out. We've written it down. So,
okay.
He was saying that he thinks it's San Antonio, Albuquerque, Tallahassee, San Diego. And I'm struggling with it. I think I'm going to flip that. Okay. I think I'm going to say...
All right.
Good. Okay, so I'm going to say, watch all four of them be, it's possible all four will be wrong. I'm going to say Albuquerque, San Antonio, Tallahassee, San Diego. That's our answer.
All right, Carmela, give your end and talk about it. So.
I don't know if I want to talk about it now. So we said Albuquerque, San Diego, Tallahassee, and San Antonio.
Okay. You were thinking San Antonio is near the tip at the bottom?
Or somewhere in the middle. And I'm trying to think that, you know, where... Because Tallahassee is in the northern part of the state, but it's, you know, in the middle, in the Panhandle. And then I know San Diego is at the bottom of California, but I'm trying to think of the way the country is shaped, that I think Florida is still lower than California.
It could... Chip was thinking that, too. It could very well be...
So, and I want to say Albuquerque is definitely north of San Antonio.
Okay.
So.
All right.
Well, from top to bottom, there are 6 degrees of separation between them.
Nice.
So it's a Kevin Bacon question.
It is, actually. Northernmost, Albuquerque, then San Diego.
Oh, fudge.
Then Tallahassee.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my God.
San Diego. Yes.
Wait,
I'm sorry.
Which one was...
San Antonio is last.
San Antonio is the furthest south?
Albuquerque, San Diego, Tallahassee, and San Antonio.
Nice job.
Yes.
Check out the big brain on this girl.
Wow, I'm flummoxed.
Man, nice job. That was all her, too.
Good job, guys. That was a challenging question.
Man. All right. So how much did y'all bet?
We bet 20.
And we bet 2.
Uh-oh.
Well, the reason we bet 20 was in case you guys bet a few, we wanted to jump more than
right.
1 point over
yeah.
here.
Well, yeah, you would have done it. So
that's 130 for us.
Yep. So the final total, Carmella and Chris, 162. Jonathan and Chip, 130.
Ooh.
Great job, guys.
Congratulations.
Feels good to win, doesn't it?
It really does. Now, mind you, I just won a couple episodes ago, so I'm not really too frustrated on this. I do know what this taste is like, but
it's a streak of one for C-squared.
That's exactly right. Mm. What up?
C-squared. You know what losing tastes like? Bag of
Woo. Okay.
All right. Let's
take us out. All right.
Let's get this wrapped up before the pizza gets here. So we have a Warhead of the Week. Our Warhead of the Week is Yvonne O'Brien from Scotland. Yvonne just sent us a lovely email just the other day, right before we recorded, saying that she was listening from Scotland and wanted to tell us how much she enjoyed the show and wanted to let us know she was listening. So, Yvonne, we got your email.
She called us lads. Yeah, it was awesome.
You liked that.
I really did.
It was great. We love knowing that we have listeners overseas and all over the world, actually, which is it's phenomenal to us. We love it.
Yeah.
So thank you, Yvonne.
Yes. Thank you for being a Warhead. That's fantastic. And by the way, if you're not a Warhead, why aren't you? It's very easy to do. You go to TrivialWarfare.com and sign up.
Yeah, you hit the button that says become a Warhead. Another thing that we're doing that I want to let you guys know about, I don't know if we've announced it on a show yet. We have a Warhead group going on Facebook now. So if you're on Facebook and you want to see daily trivia questions and interact with the other people who are listening to the show, you can do a quick search at the top bar for Trivial Warfare Army, and you will find our group. We're the only one with that name. Everybody in this episode is a part of that group. So
yes.
Hang out with us.
Absolutely. And asking some really good questions out there and doing some very poor answers on some of those questions, I might add.
No new reviews this week.
That's a bummer.
Unfortunately, yeah. It's amazing how many listeners we have versus reviews. It's weird to me sometimes, but I take what I can get.
Do you want me to give you a review right now?
Sure.
5 out of 5 would host again.
Nice.
That made my ego a little high. That was nice.
Also, it's kind of nice hearing people come in and stuff like that because, like, Jonathan, a couple days ago, you were telling me that somebody wrote in and saying, I sound like Nicolas Cage. Whoever said that, thank you so much. I don't hear it, but thank you. And then Carmela's cousin says that I sound like who?
Will Wheaton.
Will Wheaton.
I don't know where comes from.
So Wesley Crusher. All right. So I'm either or Nicolas Cage.
That's Keanu Reeves.
Yeah. Oh, that's true. Well, everything that Nicolas Cage and Keanu Reeves do sounds the same thing. Whoa.
All right. So, Chris, why don't you get us out of here?
All right. Well, wow, this was a fun little episode. It was interesting bringing a whole bunch of different voices into the mix.
First off, the Boston Tea Party won that game for you.
It really did.
Sure, yeah, that was the key moment.
Yeah. It was. So, Mark, thanks for the questions. Great job as always.
Thank you, sir.
And
next week, for the record, next week, Mark is going to be a competitor.
No way, really?
Oh, cool. Yes.
Who's asking the questions?
Carmella is going to be hosting.
Nice. You go, Carmella. Outstanding.
So that'll be a fun episode.
All right. So tune in for that because first time we get to hear Mark answer some questions.
I'm pumped. I'm
ready. Phenomenal.
There are going to be beads of sweat coming down his forehead.
Oh, this.
Yep. I got a lot of cramming to do.
So, all right. So, Mark, Chip, Carmella, thank you very much for joining us. We really appreciate it. Jonathan, great job as always. You can reach us at trivialwarfare@gmail.com. Again, that's trivialwarfare@gmail.com. You can also, if you have an idea for a Warm It Up Chris question, please send it to me at warmitupchris@yahoo.com. Until next time, that's Jonathan, that's Chip, that's Mark, that's Carmella, I'm Chris, and I'm tired of telling people's names. And this is Trivial Warfare, where it's not just trivia, it's war. Take care, everybody.
Bye, everybody.
Nice shirt, Mark.
Thank you.
Personally want a wiener ride.
It's not intended for you.
All right, fair enough.